And welcome by yet another podcast of the West Wind Training Protocol, aka West Wind Training. Today we're going to talk about building a strong foundation for fitness training. And we specifically go towards functional fitness training and CrossFit training. Why is it important? What are we going to focus on? What's in the long run? What's in the short term? What are some key weights or things you want to hit, some things you want to look at your own training, things like that nature. So why is a strong foundation important? A strong foundation is critical when it comes to functional fitness training, as it lays the groundwork for the future of your success. Think of it this way. All the greatest athletes have built a solid foundation and base in their training. Maybe the gymnast that did 1 million hollows and handstand holds for it could do all the flips and turns. In fitness training or in functional fitness training, we sometimes forget the basics and we forget we need a strong base to work from and a solid structure to handle different kind of weights, different kind of movements, things like that. We get a lot of critique from the gymnast or from the weightlifter, because they spend their entire life building that foundation and then eventually peaking out at a certain weight. And we as CrossFitters, most of us come in a bit later in our athletic career. We don't start with CrossFit when we're young, although you see a lot more nowadays, but it's still most people who get in are in the 20s or in the teens or in the late 30s when they get with CrossFit, and they are pretty competitive and they want to get better. But we never spend the time building a great foundation for the sport of fitness. Most of us lack that foundation. And that's why we need to get it back or start building it or incorporating it if you want to build your athletic peak a bit higher. You can think of it this way. If you have a pyramid, it's only as tall as wide as its base is. So if you have a wider base, you can have a bigger pyramid. A smaller foundation or a smaller width of the pyramid means a less high pyramid. And you want to have your pyramid as high as possible. That's why it's so important. You need to understand this principle if you want to get further along in your training. It helps you understand your current fitness level and helps you set achievable goals. Also, will help you develop a plan that's right for you and where you need to work on. Because if you're missing parts of your foundation, it's harder to get to your athletic peak. For instance, if you have a really big base and have a really strong structure, you can focus on other things. But if you're missing parts of that, it's really important to build it out so you can build your peak even higher. Without a strong foundation, you may struggle to reach your fitness goals or maybe get injured along the way. And you don't want that risk, because even when you have a bigger base, it's easier not to get injured because you have way more body and way more structure to fall back on when executing high intensity workouts or high skill movements or things of that nature. So that's why it's so important. So you have less chance of injury. You have a stronger foundation so you can build your peak higher and it just works better overall for your fitness goals. The thing is, what people don't realize is they are limiting themselves because they didn't build that foundation, didn't build a structure high enough, so they will always stagnate. Let's take it, for instance, in the lift. If you don't have the basic strength to get a barbell out of the rack and walk it out and control it on the way down, there is a bigger risk of injury because you don't control weight and you don't have the strength for the weight. If you build a core muscle so that you can have a higher load, when walking out with a bar, it's way easier to build the back squat up specifically, because you have all that strength from walking it out and controlling it down, making it way stronger. This can be done with multiple exercises, but let's take the yoke carry for instance. If you're able to carry a heavy yoke for an X amount of meters, you probably be safe for a back squat movement. Just take it out of rack at certainly a lighter weight than your yoke carry. And that's very important. So you always need to have that in the back of your mind when thinking about this. Well, the second thing we're going to focus on is assessing your current fitness level. The first step in building a strong foundation is seeing what your current fitness level is. Is it really high? Is it really low? What are your flaws? What do you need to work on? What are your strengths? What are your skills? What are your weaknesses? What do you need to work on? This will make you have a direction to go in and to make you stronger, less prone to injury, things like that. You can do a fitness test. You can have self-assessment. You can talk with your friends, your fitness trainer, your coach, etc. to have a general plan. Next to some of the typical things like knowing, oh, I'm not good at snatching, or oh, I don't have enough mobility. The first thing I always want to say is, how do you move? And that's make sound kind of silly, but you need to always move with intent and always move with a purpose and always focus on having some kind of proper form or proper intent while moving. If you always perform a crappy back squat while caving in and letting the body just go down, you will never get to the full potential of your back squat. Because if you always focus on good form, it's way more efficient. Especially in the sport of CrossFit, we sometimes have a tendency to, when we're getting fatigued, to move like shit. And movement economics matter. So moving more efficient is always better. Knowing not to move badly will eventually focus on being more fluid in movement and each movement costing less energy. If movement costs less energy, we can move longer at a certain speed, or we can keep a higher pace, or we can handle heavier weight for more reps, thus increasing the number of reps we can do in MRAP, or thus increasing the time it takes us to finish a workout faster, which we eventually want to rank higher in CrossFit or to be better in overall. So moving good, clean, and economically efficient is really important for a CrossFitter or a functional fitnesser. Although sometimes it has a place and time to let loose a bit and really hit the gas. But it depends on the kind of workout it is and what movements are thrown in. The second thing you want to assess is how is your general fitness. If you have a high caliber athlete, there is already some kind of GPP, general physical preparedness, in the background, and you can do a lot more of things. You can handle a lot more of low training volume things to do. Where if you're just a beginner and just starting out with training, the load needs to be a bit less, and some movements may not be as wise to do as others. Same thing if you're a master athlete. If you want to do all day snatching heavy as a master athlete, maybe not the best idea, and maybe focus on movement those are that are a little less prone to injury, or movements that help build a solid foundation a bit more, and going back in safe movement patterns while working on certain skills that you need for the sport. Control of your body and control of an external object. This all comes back to how do you move? Do you move well? Do you move with intent? can you control an object, move it the way you want to, and can you control your body the way you want your body to be controlled? So those are things to look for. This information will probably help build a realistic goal of where to go, where to take, what program to follow, etc. A few things I learned from StrongFit as far as building a solid structure when looking at strongman movements incorporated for strength, we have a few things. First, the classic is you should be able to yoke carry at least 150%+ of your one rep back squat. So if I have desired back squat of 200 kilos, I should at least be able to hit a 300 kilo yoke carry for 20 meters with ease, in my opinion. If you're not able to do that, there is a higher risk of injury when doing heavy back squats. If I want to up my back squat weight and I want to build a structure first, I need to build up the yoke. I know I'm safe at that part, and then I can go down the chain working on the stabilizers and work on a specific movement of the squat or other things that may need to be built back up for the rest. The second one is the overhead yoke carry. This movement will show you how safe it is to snatch and clean and jerk. Our goal is always to be at least able to over carry for 20 meters or one rep clean and jerk. For some people, this is really hard. Sometimes the athlete doesn't have any history with injuries in the shoulder. Sometimes we'll say it's safe to go with something between your one rep snatch and clean and jerk, but at least your one rep snatch, but we mostly strive to get at least our clean and jerk for an overhead carry of 20 meters. And for some athletes, this is really hard, and it should be something to consider when building up the jerk. I know a lot of athletes that are able to clean and jerk 140 kilos, but they are not able to overhead yoke carry it, and they will get shoulder issues in return. So something to think about. The next one is you should at least be able to form a work your deadlift for 20 meters. So if you have a deadlift of 200 kilos, you should be able to form a walk that deadlift of 200 kilos for 20 meters. This is one of the things I don't think many athletes struggle with. A lot of people are able to do this. The only people who have a bit more trouble with this are specialists. People who are really good at deadlifting are probably really shitty at the farm carry if they didn't develop all the things around it, especially sumo pullers. They pretty much fucked. The next one is to be able to carry a sandbag that is a bit heavier than your body weight. So for instance, if we're looking at me, I'm 95 kilos. Now let's take a sandbag of 100, and I should be able to walk that, pick it up, bear hug it, and walk it for at least 100 meters. Just to have all the stabilizers, the control directors for deadlifting and squatting patterns and a more resilient body. Those are some of the easy check marks with sandbags, yokes, and farmers you can check off your list. If you have a big flaw in this, something that is totally not up to par, that is definitely a hole to fill, something to get better at for making your structure and your foundation better. Okay, setting achievable goals. Once you have an understanding of your current fitness and where certain things may lack, you can set achievable fitness goals. This can be specific, measurable, and realistic. And it should align with your overall goal or for getting better in functional fitness, getting better in sport, or maybe being a better parent or such. For being able to play with your kids, going outdoors, etc., etc. For instance, if you're walking with your children to the woods and one has sprained their ankle and isn't able to walk back, What are you going to do? Are you able to pick up your kid, put it on your back or hold it and walk it back to your car? Those are things that some people don't think about, but it's definitely a possibility. And that's why it's so handy to be strong at something like carry, so that so you can help your kids with that and not save their lives, but well, reassure them that they are safe and in your hands. But it can also be for CrossFit. If you're a CrossFit athlete and you know, I need to build more strength because I'm weak at a lot of lifts, maybe it's handy to build up a structure while developing your lifts. Mostly strongman movements relate really well to raw strength. Build out a structure, and from there you can go work on specifically the Olympic lifts or the power lifts you need. This all correlates well, and I believe in a more constraint-based training philosophy. So if my constraint is I just want to be strong, I need to be strong and not just good at a certain exercise. So I want to be good overall or strong overall in all things. And sometimes people are really specialized strong. Take a weightlifter, for instance. If you're purely a weightlifter, most of the time they're not really strong. They're just really good at weightlifting a certain weight. It doesn't mean they're strong or functional strong. And I like to see people develop overall strength with the objective of being strong, and eventually seeing it play out in all the fields, having a carryover in that strength. One of the other things you need to consider while building a strong foundation, a strong structure, is to follow a structured program or at least have some thought in it. Sometimes we see people just, I think we all have been there, also me, just looking at Instagram, oh, this is a cool workout, let's try this workout. Then again, oh, this is also a cool workout, let's try this workout. Oh, this workout is fun, let's do that workout. And you're doing it the whole time, but there's not one line in it. So it's always handy to follow a structured program, or at least a program where certain elements always come back, so you develop those. Sometimes people forget that that is necessary. Next to following a structured program, you can always check back to your program from if you are hitting all the planes of movement for developing strength and foundational strength. So are you moving forward, backward, sideways? Are you stabilizing? Are you doing carries? Are you moving load? Are you going up? Are you going down? Are you holding things? Are you controlling weights? Are you controlling your own body down and up? Are you hitting all energy systems? Are you going long? Are you going short? Heavy, light? Things you need to consider while training. Only going heavy and short will eventually not build a big enough pyramid. Sometimes you need to do things longer at a lighter load in combination with the heavy load, so you can develop some overall strength. If you look at strongman movements or structure building movements that we like to do a lot, it's like a samba carry can be done for 5 minutes while not letting go. And you can do a really heavy samba carry for 80 meters. Totally, both exercises are samba carry, but will have a different outcome. And both need to be trained or done to build the foundation up. The samba carry heavy has its use, and the samba carry light has its use. We love doing like the 4 minute, 5 minute carry for our members in the box, for our athletes as a warm up, just to get that in. And automatically makes people warm, so easy benefit. The second segment is incorporating proper form and technique. We already told about this, but sometimes people get wrapped up in not moving with intent and not using the right technique while moving. And sometimes there's a bit confusion about how movement should be. I deal with a lot of assessments. So people come to me with an injury and people think they know how to deadlift or think they know how to squat. And they say, yeah, I have great technique. And they come to me and I look at their deadlift and it's shitty. It's all from the lower back. They can even get in a good position and I really have to build it up from scratch. And the same goes for the squat and the same goes for a press. So movement matters, but sometimes people forget how you really should move and see certain things that are done on Instagram from a specific athlete that maybe doesn't have the proper form for you. Because all persons have a different build and some athletes make it look like they're moving a certain way, which is not specifically the best, or certain training protocols. They say certain things and they get blown out of context. I think the one of the most known is for CrossFitters. They get a lot of cues from move your knees out, move your knees out. But if you excessively push the knees out, it's going to have a lot of injury risk for the low back because you're putting a lot more pressure there. It's not the idea just to move your knees out wider to have a better squat. For instance, I always think of like this. If I were lying on my back and I need to push a log off my body, or I have to push a car outside, then I would always push on the middle of the foot and keep a strong neutral position. I would not push my knee all the way out because it's less strong. So sometimes if the cue of push your knees out, which can be done if people really cave the knee in, which is good, can be blown out of context and people think they should be squatting with really wide knees, while that's actually not that proficient of a squat technique. So people need to think about that. So sometimes proper form isn't what you think it is. And I highly recommend you seek out experts that are really good in their field, movement coaches, how to really move in the sport of CrossFit. Get training partners that know their stuff, coach each other, help each other. And if you ever have any questions, you're always free to ask. Another segment of building a strong foundation is consistency over time. So training over a long time matters a lot because you need to build that foundation and you have to build in a certain amount of time to get strong, get fit, or get a good base. The same with some movement patterns. They take time to develop that it's so automatic you won't go wrong. And people forget that. And people want quick results like that. It doesn't work like that. It's too easy to go like, I want it now. I want to be good in 2 weeks of training. It doesn't work like that. One of the tips I always give is get a good group of people around you. Train with them. And find a vibe. It's way easier to stay motivated that way and keep training for a longer time. Do shitty workouts that are actually really fun. And you will have a lot more fun in the process. I think that pretty much sums it up for today. Why building a structure is so important. We preached a lot. Just build a strong structure. Build a strong foundation. Know your movements. Build hamstring. Build glutes. Choose exercises that really help you. And certain types of athletes need different kind of exercises than other types of athletes. And you should think about that when writing your training program. Also with your goals, if your goal is to be really good at competitions, you need a certain base of strength to play in the field. And if you're not strong enough, you need to make a certain protocol so that you can get a lot stronger and play in the field. So all things to think about. This was the Western Training Podcast, once in English again. Peace out.